You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Welcome to the Monopool, the Geek.io live play role-playing podcast. Where our storytelling game master may or may not let us live another week.
Hello, and welcome, friends, to the Manipool, your Geek.io Life Play Role Stair Playing Podcast. I am CJ Stairs. Joining me, of course, is Felix Stairs.
You can see that this is the third episode. We're fucking tired.
And of course, alongside Felix is Raul didn't fall down a flight down of stairs.
But he was trying to give you a reach around.
What? No, I was just trying to give him a bear hug.
Yeah, that bear. I'm about to cast Genesis power level 9 on that fucking groin if it comes near me again. Carrie, the fuck are those guys doing?
Accurate.
Rachel, the fuck are those guys doing?
Also the sentiment of Sylvia, which I will be taking the role of for the evening.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention Dale's not here. And the Stairmaster himself, Josh.
And we stick the landing.
I was thinking the same thing, CJ.
And now we're, last time, stairs. 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 You mean you're immortal? Stairs. Stairs. Stairs.
Clank, 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 clank.
I'm gonna punch this wall. Ow, this wall hit back.
And then a wild pedestal appears.
I'm gonna touch the thing.
Don't touch it.
I'm touch the thing. The thing.
Are they actually rushing towards
it? I think the three of us are so pissed off at this place. How three of us are at that pedestal right now.
What's on the pedestal?
Yeah.
What's in the
box? Do I feel like I can teleport right now?
You can try.
I'm gonna try to teleport over to them. Sweet. Don't touch it.
Fragu
does, what's on it?
Does that thing with the one paw, like with the one claw, like just like, I'm not touching it.
She nudges your paw over towards Akira. Poke him.
No, yeah, but he'll like that.
What's on the pedestal? It's the most interesting thing here.
Nothing, actually.
I'm gonna touch it.
The surface of the pedestal itself is almost glassy smooth.
I'm gonna touch it with my staff.
Can I feel anything with an 11 from the pedestal?
You can't feel much of anything at all from it, unfortunately. There are some pretty interesting glyph works down around the base, though.
Ooh, I'm going to inspect them. And study them.
Poke.
Hey, I rolled a 22, which is my auto succeed number with my knowledge feat.
Tink. You see, there aren't a whole lot of non-embellishment engravings around the base of the pedestal. It's mostly there to make it look prettier.
Okay.
Primarily, what is on the pedestal is a sequence of 4 glyphs.
Okay.
That look, for the people who are actually in the Zoom call with me and can see such things, like these.
Ooh.
Oh, these are important. These got drawings. So for audio listeners, because this is literally a... I want to explain these.
Give it back.
I want to describe them. By the way, it's going to be real poor, really. Looks like a Mega Man who ran... Or a Pac-Man who ran into a wall.
Actually,
acute angle with crudely drawn bits on the side of it. You're gonna go down. A unicycle with a fish on it. Go down. And a half circle with doodly bops.
The most descriptive.
No, it's a half circle with a severed head and a doodly bop at the bottom. Much more descriptive.
And Felix is dead.
Yes!
I can't. Oh shit, we broke Felix!
I can't even hear what he's saying.
That's the stupidest thing that he's ever heard.
Oh man, okay, I'm back. Back to reality.
Back to reality.
Are you?
I want to
poke the fish with the unicycle on it with my staff.
As you reach out to poke at it, the glyphs start to light up. And the glassy surface of the top of the pedestal starts to kind of ripple like water.
I'm going to stand up and look at it.
I did a thing, I think.
And once all four of the sigils have lit up, a pillar of light rises up from the center of the pedestal. It doesn't go particularly high, just about 8-9 feet or so.
Okay.
So about a fragule and a half.
About a fragule and a half tall, but it's a very wide pedestal, I should have stated to begin with. It takes up about a 10-foot square in and of itself.
It was possibly nice knowing you guys, and I stick my hand into it.
Tink. Tink.
Huh. Poke it with a staff. Poke, poke.
Tink, 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 tink.
I'm going to look at first. Stop.
It's the most interesting thing that I've seen all day.
No, the most interesting thing you've seen all day is the four figures that appear inside the column.
No, people.
It's the doodly bops.
This one looked like a unicycle with a fish on its head.
No, but the unicycle with the fish on its head is on one of the breasts of the robes one of the four figures is wearing.
This is my new best friend.
Oh.
And you notice each of the four figures standing in the column of light has one of those sigils somewhere on their very elegant robes.
We definitely met the people who made this place.
Each one of them, two men, two women, have a crystalline circlet around their temples.
Hello, my name is Akira.
And you see their mouths start to move, but you don't hear any words come out. However, all of you start to hear voices inside your heads.
Yokino?
Are you sure this thing's on? Don't be preposterous. My inventions are flawless, unlike yours.
Whoa, that Windows 10,000. Someone changed the audio settings.
And the four figures straighten themselves up and, you know, throw their shoulders back a little bit. And, you know, basically giving themselves a bit of radio silence for a moment, as if they didn't quite realize that they were being recorded at that specific moment. None of us here know what that's like.
No, not at all.
Dead air? What's that? We're professionals.
You see one of them log into his computer and go up to options and truncate silence, click it a couple times.
I'm impressed that that's actually a feature. So
it is. It's fantastic. It saves my ass so many times. Early days on Geek.io show took me 8 hours, but then once I figured that was a thing, went down to like 30 minutes.
But yes, the figures straighten themselves out and look straight ahead as if, you know, looking towards one singular point that you guys just happen to be standing roughly in the vicinity of, and begin talking into your heads again.
Why is it not the same voice that usually is in?
Hush, listen.
Lord, no. Master Zan, as you have often guided us throughout the centuries towards the glory that we now possess, you have given us but one missive in particular above all others. Put all differences aside and work together. And in this effort, we have thought that yes, perhaps this is best. And on this day, in the honor of the 500th year of your reign and your guidance, we do present to you this gift. For this world, this land that you have so benevolently shown your radiance upon is yet too small. Your light and your wisdom must be shown across the world, that you may show others the path as you have shown us. And so, as per your missive, we have put our differences aside and combined our most glorious creations together for you. And the column slides back down. And the glyphs deluminate one by one. And what? The ground begins to tremble.
Oh no, it's about to fall from under us again.
By the way, I don't want to say that, I didn't want to interrupt you when you were saying it, but when the voices started talking, Velfreya fished out her journal and started transcribing what they were saying.
Oh yeah, Akira did the same thing. Like
that's what me emoting this was on the video call, if anybody
what
saw
was that.
That
voice?
Video
What's going on?
On an audio podcast.
Well, that was more for Josh, so he knew I wasn't retconning.
I think we are in the right place, and I think we're about to see the boat.
Let's back up just in case. Everybody behind the pedestal.
Nope.
And the ground continues to tremble, and there is a great rumbling that echoes through the air around you. And Raul, if you could just help me out a little bit with this.
Maybe.
No, he refuses.
Ooh.
You are all thrown off your feet as the ground beneath you lurches forward. And you start to hear rumbling and cracking, and you see bits of rock falling down onto the ground ahead of you. And you realize the ground hasn't lurched beneath you. You're moving.
I'm going to reach out to the two people nearest me and, hold on.
All
Hiro
around
is with us, right?
along the floor and off to the sides, you start to see motes of light swimming around the floor, along the walls, following conduits as everything begins to light up. Lines of light begin shooting through the air over your head towards a focal point, illuminating the area, and you see chunks of rock just falling away, crashing down around you, and you start to hear the sounds of rocks splashing onto water. And ahead of you, you see a very large rock wall, illuminated by the beams of light heading straight forward. And it splits and crumbles away, and you're all momentarily blinded as sunlight begins pouring in.
Oh my sunlight. God!
The sun!
And with a rush of water and the sound of crashing waters, you feel the salt air of the ocean breeze on your faces. The first non-stagnant air that you've had to breathe in, you know, hours at the very least now. And you hear a tremendous crash as you feel yourselves slam down further onto the floor beneath you and see sprays of water rise up along the sides. And you see the sky above you as sails begin to materialize in the air, held up by ropes of pure light. Congratulations. You found yourselves a boat.
Oh. Are we on the boat?
You're on the boat.
Oh my.
You are standing on the deck looking out around you in the middle of the ocean. If you look behind you over the edge of the railings off to your sides, you can see the beach where you were standing. Hours ago.
Wait, were we on the boat the entire time? When we walked into the corridor?
After you walked through the automatic opening door.
Oh! We were...
The real boat is the friends that we made along the way.
So, in true Sadie fashion, I am officially freaked the fuck out, but I'm running from front to back, left to right of the boat going, holy shit, it's a boat! I'm on the water!
Yeah, so, Belfrey is just, like, glowing right now. She's like,
So this thing ain't a dinghy. This thing's like a cruise ship.
No, it's a ship.
Hey, CJ, because yes. You can better describe it, or actually Josh, I don't know if CJ showed pictures of the catamaran that we were on. Big ass fucking ship.
It's, you guys saw some large ships in dock at Tolvera. This thing dwarfs them.
Yes!
Chokido, I am so sorry for doubting my reasoning for coming here.
Well, Freya's eyes actually look a little damp right now.
Quick question before we all get too excited. Does anybody know how to sail this thing?
They must!
Yes.
It's moving. Remy sent something and walked off.
Where is Remy, by the way? Do we,
somewhere on this vessel.
I'm gonna go explore and look for Remy.
The surface of the pedestal ripples again. And you see... Of course, that's the exact moment I decided to choke.
You're just all choked up.
Clearly. The column of light shoots up again and sort of spans out. And you see Remy's head. I think, yes. Hello. Ah, there you are.
Yeah, we see you, Remy.
Remy, are you okay, buddy?
Are we moving?
Yes.
Then yes, we are okay.
Very much so moving.
And the view of the panel in front of you pans back some. You can shut that off now, Raul. It's okay.
I like that.
Enough dramatic music!
The image pans back, and you see Remy basically standing in front of a very complicated-looking apparatus. And his hands are clamped down on top of two orbs that look very much like the cores that are in his shoulders and chest. And there's just a massive amount of energy crackling through the area, going up along his arms, through the chest, down the other side. I figured out how to turn it on.
One of these days, I'm going to stop doubting him.
Do you need anything? Where are you right now?
I suppose it would be most appropriate to call it to the core of the ship.
That's like from the surface of the boat where we are right now, where is that at?
Down, I would guess.
Well, yes.
You see his eyes flick around a little bit, like he's looking at something that you guys can't see because the camera is focused on him. Subdeck 3. Central corridor.
Subdeck 3. Holy cow.
Hey, Remy, can you get us back to Tovera?
Attempting to. I am no helmsman, but the ship appears to accept some small level of input.
Follow the coastline, Remy.
Is it safe to come to where you are? All the doors locked us out.
The energy levels here are extremely high. It would be hazardous for anyone of organic composition to enter.
So This ship was designed for one of Remy's kind to control. Out of character, if we hadn't have found him, we'd be fucked.
Right?
That's kind of the reason there were a few spares in that room.
So, hey Remy, how about we see what this thing can really do? Let's do some donuts here on the water. And
how about we don't?
I'm normally all for adventure, friend, but yeah.
Hey, all powers to engines.
How do you even know what that means?
I'm just things that I
hear. The bear knows what an engine is?
What's an engine?
I mean,
I expect that from you, but the bear?
Wasn't the prince talking about a light-powered engine that they were putting on ships?
Light-powered propulsion, yes.
Okay.
Remy, you're actually driving the ship?
That is a very generous interpretation.
Is there anything we can do from this pedestal to help you?
The pedestal is primarily for communications, and I believe the Enlightened had recorded a message upon it for their master, but...
We saw that.
We got that when we got in here.
Remy, we saw the Enlightened. Velfrey is super excited by this.
I am very happy for you. would suggest bracing yourselves.
Why?
I can make it go. I can't make it turn.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Coastline, Remy. Just follow it.
Understood.
And he continues to kind of look around, and you hear a crunch ahead of you, and you see bits of rock spraying off to the sides of the boat. Sorry.
It's all right. I understand.
I'm going to put away my journal and pen so that they do not fall off the boat.
Right.
Is there a map of the ship? Do we know where anything is or how to move around?
I can provide directive from here. What are you attempting to locate?
Well, if we're going to be living on this ship, we're going to need cabins. I would like to know what is on the ship, what kind of hold, what kind of facilities it has.
The ship possesses, kind of, his head rotates slightly on an axis. The quarters are not finite. They appear to be modular.
Oh my god.
The ship possesses a galley, the basis for a blacksmith's forge, a substantial cargo hold, the captain's quarters.
Dibs.
a master's chamber, presumably for Zan.
Hey, CJ, I called it first.
I'm getting audio coming from your computer, CJ. It
shouldn't.
Well, I'm hearing 20XX.
You shouldn't. So, dibs.
There are also sub-chambers devoted to its arsenal. It would appear this vessel was designed for long voyages.
I can see that.
It is less appropriate to call it a ship and more so a floating palace.
I'm home.
Everything you've ever wanted.
And more.
So do we need authorization to go through the doors?
The ship was in lockdown until it was activated. I can remotely remove the barriers preventing access to the further levels of the ship.
Hey, Remy, are there any weapons on board?
You hear a very heavy clunk. And you see portions of the deck that you're standing on start to open themselves up. And very unusual things start to rise out of the deck and pivot around.
What are those?
Velfreya, they look slightly familiar.
Oh. What do they look like?
Exceptionally large versions of things you are very familiar with.
Oh. Oh.
Oh.
I'm going to walk over to one and inspect it.
Make a perception check.
Perception or studying? 19.
Hey, Fred Gould picks up. Hey, we have a large cargo hold. Why don't we go back and get all that stuff that was in that room?
No.
I don't think we can get back to it, buddy.
I mean, if we went in the front entrance again, we could, but we have... We'll send an expedition to investigate the rest of the facility. There's a lot there that needs to be studied.
You are not wrong.
Yeah, because your basic prohibitance there would be there's no place on the beach to really dock the boat. And so you would effectively have to carry everything that was in that storehouse back to somewhere where the boat could dock.
Remy, are there lifeboats or dinghies on the boat, on the ship?
There are several small craft stored within the hull.
Perfect. That's what we need. So if we ever do need to ferry our way to shore and there's no place to dock, that's what we use.
Where's the cargo hold at, Remy?
Subdeck 4.
How do I get down to subdeck 4?
Stairs.
Look for stairs. Fucking stairs.
Do I see anything when I'm looking at the at what I am going to out of character refer to as a turret?
It very much resembles something you're intimately familiar with, to the point that directly behind the apparatus itself, there is a panel that looks like it has places you could plug into.
Oh. Hey, Fragul.
Yes.
You asked if there were weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Whips down the sleeve, points the sleeve at the spot where you can plug in, and attempts to fire off a harmless but very pretty shower of like lights and sparks and stuff.
Ooh, pretty.
The front of the apparatus erupts in a massive beam and spray of light.
Hey, Remy, where's the captain's quarters?
Wait, why do you get to be the captain?
Because I called dibs.
No. I think the people with the group the longest get to be captain.
Hey, just because he's in the captain quarters doesn't necessarily make him captain. Also, Remy, where's the master suite?
Oh.
The hallway directly beneath you. The wall that was on the left of the stairwells that you ascended to get to that location.
Yeah. Looks at Calibras. We missed the master suite.
Damn.
I go back to the fucking stairs.
I'm just going to take in the sun for a little while. It's been a while.
Actually, yeah, I'm going to... Yeah, I look down the stairs. I'm not ready for this yet. I take off my hat, pop it, and I pop the thing down, pop the lid of it down, put it in my bag, and kind of reach back and pull my hair out and let it just kind of flow in the back.
Yeah,
and I just kind of go over to the side of the ship and just kind of do the whole thing. On the side of it, just put the head on the arms and just kind of.
Yeah, who all in the party has long hair?
Akira, Lisae.
Because all of us, and Velfrey has got long hair too, all of our hair is probably going nuts right now.
I can imagine Sylvia not having real long hair because, you know, explosions and tinkering.
most of it's been finished.
The boat goes to like a point, right?
Sylvia has gone on record saying that she's got a short little bob cut. Sadie, on the other hand, keeps her hair braided.
What were you saying, Felix?
The boat does go to a point, right?
To a point, yes.
Yeah, in the prow.
Calibras will take off his helmet and sit at the very front of it.
Oh, Akira's head snaps to her. To Calibras.
It's a very interesting prow. It curves upward very steeply instead of the normal straight out that most ships you've seen in the past have. There appears to be something at the very top of that curve that the light beams are focusing on. Like some kind of anchoring point.
I'm just going to hang out up there.
So, all right. So, because it's been a bit since we've done this, and also it's the first time Akira has seen him, the hell does Calibras look like without his helmet or hood on?
He's pale, got a kind of a thickish beard. Kind of graying hair that's about medium length.
Huh.
And a wicked case of helmet hair.
Yeah. It's gotta like shake it.
For cutscene purposes, can I suddenly a ruby?
I mean, I suppose if you're not doing anything particular with it.
No, I take my, I unfold my hands and tap on the ground and ruby pops up. Get down there. Hey buddy, we made it. We made it out of the city and
we have hit the big time.
This is more than even Dad said we could have done. I never knew stuff like this could exist, man. And Ruby jumps up onto my shoulder and kind of nuzzles into my hair.
Aww, it's cute.
Scratch behind his ear. I know, Mom would be really proud. Mom always thought I'd be more like Dad.
So yeah, those of you who are close to the edges or, you know, the front of the boat in this case, Can see that you're moving along at an almost startling clip. The water is just rushing past.
So, question. When Calabrath took off his helmet, I'm curious about three people's reactions. Jokiro, Caleb, and Ellie.
Oh yeah, Jokiro's like, ah, that explains a lot. Wait. And Jokiro goes, no! And then realizes who he's in company with and walks up to Calabrass.
Valfreya follows.
You have a monkey paw on your shoulder, Calabrass.
Make a wish.
Whispers in your ear, Nosfera.
That's me.
Yeah, and at this point, Jokido's going to try and reach out for Caleb's mind. Doesn't like doing it without permission, but man.
All right. I was going to say, are you going to?
I'm rolling it. It takes a second.
Was that about dead silence?
21.
That does what?
That is basically just power level. Why didn't I put power levels on
that'd
here?
That'd be five because it's 10 plus twice right. The power level.
So I could communicate with him, but I'm not. I just kind of want to hear his thoughts.
This is so cool. Ah, man, I can imagine Dad's face.
Jokiro.
Yeah.
With Calabrass's consent, I think it might be healthy for the kids if they heard a particular bedtime story before coming face to face.
Whoops!
That
wasn't me, by the way.
That was a sound.
That was indeed a sound.
Definitely a sound.
Not me this time.
Was not me.
That was me.
Bro.
Yeah, it's that thing in JRPGs when you take the right action course in a party member and improve your standing with them.
I can Calabrass will remember that.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was making that same joke.
I can definitely tell them the story of the village.
It's not my place to make that decision, but I am putting the suggestion out there.
I mean, they probably won't care about this man who has now just taken off his helmet. They just know him as Calabrass. But yeah, I think maybe letting them know who you are.
My concern is that they are his descendants. They might recognize him.
Well, right now, Caleb is just taking in the sights, and I can't get a positive read on Ellie at all, ever.
Wait, aren't Caleb not Calabrass's descendants?
They're
descendants of the guy that kicked Calabrass's ass, right?
Exactly, but maybe she doesn't want to. Maybe Valfreya doesn't want to trigger her best friend by throwing around a galleon's name.
Yeah, they're my children's children's children. Hello.
Oh God.
Hello, it's me.
Hello, it's me, a galleon. It's pleasure. Of course.
I like how you peek the mic with a galleon's voice. So yeah, she's trying to be like considerate about it, but it is a concern because what she doesn't want is for Caleb, especially, who is, you know, more
reckless.
That is more than fair.
Yeah.
But I think maybe I can take them aside and let them know this in case, so they don't accidentally on Nosfera.
If they find out, if they recognize the recognizers, if they don't,
deal. That is fair. So you would rather me wait until they see that you.
He shrugs his shoulders. It makes no difference to me, really.
I also love how, Chokiro's just rolling with the fact that Velfreya knows all this.
He figured. He's intelligent enough to realize that you two are close enough that this is, and how casual he just took off his helmet, that, I could even just call them over here and just eliminate the accident.
Calvary's contemplates for a moment and says, "Would you feel safer for them?"
I think maybe eliminating an accident may be the better option, because, as you pointed out, Caleb is not necessarily the most.
He's a young man, and young men can sometimes be a little bit excitable.
And I think maybe just stemming that tide before it breaks is probably the better option.
I'm also worried about them misunderstanding.
Well, it's better to tear the band-aid off quickly rather than wait for it to become a problem.
I put into Caleb's head then, "Hey, Caleb, buddy, it's rather hard to hear when you're not close. Could you come over here, please, for a moment?"
What? Sorry, this is really cool.
Yeah, I know, buddy. I agree completely. This is by and far the coolest thing that I have ever seen. I do have something really cool to show you, though, over here. If you and Ellie could come over here for a moment, please.
Yeah, real cool.
Real cool. Your dad, your ancestors.
Mortal enemy.
Mortal enemy.
Great-grandfather's enemy.
How the hell did you survive?
Yeah, and now he's like freaking babysitter. The ultimate revenge. Become better father figure than a galleon's descendant.
That is the ultimate revenge. That's the greatest revenge of all time.
That kind of goes without saying, but...
I'm going to make Pan's brats love me.
I mean, oh God!
Isn't that basically how Piccolo got his revenge on Goku?
She likes her fish booking when you make her bunny go hop hop.
So oh yeah, I asked Caleb and Ellie to come over. And
Grandpa Calabras.
I mean, he's got to look for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they make their way across the deck. It's a bit of a trek. This is not a small deck.
And that's the reason why I just put it into his head. Like, I'm not going to walk all the way over there just to walk all the way back. I'm an old man at this point. I don't have the energy to do that.
We just ran from a collapsing tunnel. None of us have the energy for that.
That's the reason. Just come the fuck over here, you goddamn children.
Get over here. So goddamn.
I don't like hearing curse words in Jokiro's voice. It makes me uncomfortable.
No, he didn't say he said block.
P-L-U-C-K.
Get the block over here.
I don't know what you guys are talking about with the lack of energy. The Spear of Arion is leaping all over the place.
Of course he is. And of course, Sadie being young and that she is going crazy. Like, she's still like...
Of course she is.
All I can think of with Jokiro saying he's an old man is that he's constantly like being a victim of autocorrect. So instead of saying "get the fuck over here," it's "get the duck over here."
Yep. What duck? There's no ducks.
I contacted my child and he just won't answer my tech support calls anymore. I asked him to help me fix my computer. He will not fix my computer anymore. They don't come to visit. Their damn children don't come to talk to me anymore.
And that's posted on like some random restaurant's wall.
Yes.
He goes to,
he goes to google.com to put in facebook.com.
Oh.
Anyway.
Why are you so
we have digressed to a new low.
Anyway.
Watch as Caleb and Ellie make their way across the deck towards you. Caleb is doing his best to half steady Ellie because the ship is rocking a fair bit, considering the waves are a little choppy and you guys are, like I said, moving at a decent clip.
Great. Rachel's going to be puking next to a snack here in a couple minutes.
That is all.
This Thursday to find out more.
Because visual bits on an audio podcast, I'm not even going to explain it, but CJ's getting the middle finger.
I'm not going to explain it, but I'm going to explain it. Good job, Rachel.
What's up? I mean, the view's really great up here. Wonder what that thing is.
I'm going to look up. What's he looking at?
The top of the arch of the prow of the ship.
Okay.
Where the light seems to be focusing in on.
It looks to be like some kind of anchor point for the light ropes, possibly made of crystal.
Yeah, that makes sense. Pretty common to use this sort of material. Anyways, what's up?
He kind of nonchalantly just kind of points to where he would be looking at Calibras, but like beyond him. Like, hey, look at that cool thing over there.
Hey, that's a lot of water.
Yeah, that's look, Calibras has his helmet off.
God damn it. The Freya's just like,
oh, I hope he didn't lose it, because
Jokido is super overt.
Actually, I think Jokido might know a cool story that was passed down from the Silva.
Absolutely. And it actually involves our friend Calibras here. And he sits and tells them a story, of which I will probably have to narrate in this voice.
Oh yeah I
just realized what we're having me do here, and Josh, I guess I'm gonna need that story so I can read the story in Jokido's voice here soon.
Or Calibras could just do it,
or Calibras could do it. So I don't have to be
with Calibras. Story time with Calibras.
When I approached this subject, I was not intending to just do it now. I was like, hey, how do we want to handle this? And then suddenly this is happening. Like, Vilfreya just kind of gives Calibras an I'm sorry look.
No, he didn't lose his
helmet. Comes running from the opposite side of the ship, sits down right in front of Calibras. Okay.
Do you know the name Nosfera?
Yeah. That was the guy that Gramps kicked the shit out of.
Correct.
He was supposedly a real bad dude, just tearing up the countryside and wreaking all sorts of havoc and making a lot of bodies walk around after they were already dead. It's kind of creepy.
Most of those things are correct.
Like 90%.
He holds his hand up. I introduce you to Nosfera.
Lightwave.
That's a funny story. You do know this was like 100 years ago, 200? It was a while ago.
How long have you been 200 again?
And anyways, you know, great-great-grandpa had to kick the shit out of Nosfera because he was a super bad guy, and Calibras is always trying to help everyone, so.
Yeah.
I mean, did you see what he did for Miss Valfreya back there? That was pretty cool.
She just kind of grins at Caleb. It was really awesome.
He puts in Caleb's head, I tinked out an item.
Damn it.
I think they're both people, Mr. Jokiro. The only one who's an object is the spear.
Did he say that out loud?
And the robot.
Oh.
Did Caleb say that out loud, or did he think it back?
No, he thought it back.
Okay.
Jokiro laughed. Sorry, I into his head. Sorry, my daughter's had to grow up very fast, so I am used to them being at your age. Sorry, but
what were you thinking at him?
No, that was in his head.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all right. Anyways,
yeah,
this is real weird.
He in his head he goes, yes, this is indeed Nosferatu, and he kind of pops down and tells them the story, like, of how Nosferatu indeed fell. And of course, this is the Silva version of it, so I'm not gonna have Josh tell me it, so I'm gonna tell, because, you know, stories pass and change.
This is what Jokiro remembers. Also, that whole mental exchange going on, Belfreya is just giving Calabras this like look, like,
yeah, the only thing that came out loud was Jokiro laughing. And because I'm not going to do the voice all the way through this, Jokiro tells them, you know, so the stories that you heard about Nosferatu at the time were true. He fell. He was found upon by a lone traveling Silva, who then, and of course, this may not be true, but this is stories that he's heard. A lone Silva who brought the broken and crumbled man to the nearby Silva village. At that point, they nursed him back to life as much as it could be, and spent time with the man who turned out that was not evil per se. He wanted change. He wanted to put his mark on the world. That came across in the wars and the hellishness that had occurred. But in his own way, he wanted freedom. He wanted equality. He wanted power. Power for power's purpose is not always evil. It is depends on the user. Nosferatu found himself into dark uses of that power. He will point out, you may have noticed that Calabras's power and Akira's power are fairly similar, just the opposite sides of that same
two sides of the same coin.
I don't know if coins exist in this world.
Two sides of the same token.
Yeah, there we go. Two sides of the same token. One is light, one is dark. Nosferatu stumbled upon the dark side of that energy and used it to exact his power, exact his attempts for freedom. Obviously, that was discouraged and fought upon, and people died. It was horrible. But in his own way, he exacted the change that he wanted to make. He paid the ultimate price over and over and over again for it, because it turns out that he couldn't die. And over the time, spending the time with the Silva, the man became no longer the Nosferatu that was feared and hated. He became something else, someone else. And the Silva bestowed upon him a new name, a new chance to become something better than what he had was. Gave him a direction to point his mighty spear to exact the change that he had wanted, but not to bring the death.
Did someone call?
Not you.
Very well.
pointed his sorry, not now, spit a video on. I apologize, my friend. Pointed him towards a brighter future, and was born that day, born in that village, the man you see before you, the Calabras that you know and hopefully care enough about. And gave him the ability to not even be noticeable, gave him the armor that you see, gave him the, you forged the armor that you see, made it so it wasn't a terrifying visage, but just one of anonymity, something that he could be a hero for.
Also, your great grandfather's a dick.
He pushes class. That may also be the case.
Well, I mean, the memoirs of his second wife said as much, but...
How many did he have?
Calabrese takes an action to feel justified.
Because that just happened.
Episode title.
An action to feel justified?
Yes.
Yep.
6 seconds of just... Yes.
Everybody just lets him savor it.
Does the fucking success baby mean, like...
I mean, that's a real nice story, Mr. Jokuro. And I know how much the Silva like their stories. But it basically just said the same thing I already said. I never knew a Nosfera. I read stories about him in an old book that my great-great-grandfather wrote and talked about how great he was, like he did with everything.
Of course!
The only thing I remember...
I can't wait to play a galley.
Mr. Calabrese charging forward with his spear to help get Ellie out of a cage. And Mr. Calabrese throwing himself in harm's way to protect his friends. So, I don't even see how they could be the same person.
Jokido kisses his forehead. That's absolutely 100% the case of this. They are not the same person.
I mean, if you think about it, we would probably have had to kill Calabrese by now. Wouldn't we have Jokuro?
If I felt that there was any kind of need for anything like that, it would have been the case. But this man is a friend. This man is family by now. We have been through literal life and death with this man. This Calabrese. But I needed to make sure that you knew the story so that way there was no miscommunication. He looks at Ellie too.
She's just kind of staring up at Calabrese from underneath the hood.
Ellie, is there anything you would like to say to Mr. Calabrese?
Give her a warm smile.
What did you say?
I said give her a warm smile.
Oh, God.
Why is it I kind of see Calabrese's warm smile being the same kind of smile that Stitch kind of forces, like the...
Meanwhile, I'm thinking, Jokuro uses small children. It's super effective.
Why, hello there, small, slightly used child.
It's all damp and
squishy under somewhere. My toes. I do not know how I feel about you.
So, yeah, I kind of look at her, and is there anything you would like to say to him?
She kind of tilts her head to the side a little.
Thank you, Josh.
Well, I'm having to plan this out in my head so that it comes out right in character.
Yeah, funny how Josh has to figure out how a slightly mutated 8-year-old girl would act. Right.
It's almost like it doesn't come out very often.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Josh doesn't always be isn't always an 8-year-old girl, but when he is, she has a horn.
Doesn't always Several. Be an 8-year-old girl.
Yes,
it's late.
And she'll reach out and with one of her odd, almost bird-like hands, kind of knuckle away some of the hair from his face.
It's a really long arm.
Well, he's sitting down, as far as I was aware.
Yeah, he is.
Oh.
And while she is a small child, she's not, like, you know, 4.
That's true.
He's got nice eyes.
Aww. Jokito looks at him. You have nice eyes.
I heard the little girl. Right. Well, I bet this boat has a kitchen.
Well, Remy said as much.
Jokito just kind of goes, is that about correct? What I said?
More or less.
So yeah. We have...
He pats you on the shoulder. He goes, yes, food sounds fantastic. Remy, buddy.
Yes, Jokiro.
Gali, where would it be, my friend?
You will need to proceed to the hallway through which you first entered the ship. Head down these stairs.
Son of a bitch!
Is there an elevator for the lazy ones? I mean, the old one, the tired ones?
Do we know what that is?
A lift!
Do we know what that is?
A system of pulleys that we could wedge a piece of wood underneath the ones that are too lazy to walk down the stairs?
A dumbwaiter. Is there a dumbwaiter?
A dumbwaiter, yes. I mean, I'm sure between Sadie and I, we could do that.
Yeah. If not, if there isn't one now, there will be, because I will give Akira some food to give to people.
I was trying to think of something clever to say like with that, and then you beat me to it. And
does that actually get a reaction out of Calabras?
Yes, it does.
Hey!
Also, was Akira actually listening to the story, or was he off doing his own thing?
No, he was off. He was mostly off just kind of swooning and talking to Ruby.
Aw.
And Sylvia.
Watching the Spear of Orion leap.
Yeah, him and Sylvia were spending some time over there talking to each other.
Yeah. By the way, I think it's number one, that little mini scene with him and Ruby is adorable and super sweet, and I love it. And number two, I find it hilarious that he was asking Calabras, like, how long have you been 200 and you've got to tell me all of this? And then, like,
misses the entire thing.
It's pretty great.
I did that on purpose, by the way. There's a reason why when Rachel's like, you know, Sadie comes over and sits down, because that's fully what Sadie would want to do, especially when it's Papa Jokiro telling stories.
Papa Jokiro's got a storytelling face on.
That's exactly it. And of course, because in many aspects, Sadie has not grown up because she's kind of stunted because of the situation that occurred.
Jokido looks at Calabras. Hey, Calabras. You mind if I let Sadie borrow your helmet to study for a little bit? It would make her the happiest girl in the world.
I had to
talk. You have plus one smelly helmet.
I promise not to dent it.
Don't destroy it, dear.
I won't destroy it. I'll try not to dent it. Is that okay?
Nothing. It's already been dented once. He'll be fine.
Okay, I won't dent it much more.
He ruffles her hair.
You see her run over into another corner of the ship, just sitting there playing with it, just tapping it, scratching at it.
Should probably have that dent fixed at some point.
Pulling out a notebook.
I can fix it, I think.
You're going to turn around. 1 second, you're going to hear, poof, and she's going to turn around and her big knee, big muscly form just punching the inside of the helmet back out.
No. I won't go for that. I have better tools that I can use than that. Thank you. All of a sudden you're hearing little tacky sounds from the corner. You're like, shit.
She has her tool case out. The helmets will either be better than normal or we will have to use some of the true metal that we got in the area to make you a new helmet.
I'm sure we'll find a black at some point.
It's so hard!
Felix, wait, I did what? Not see it. I did not hear a word you said.
I said I'm sure we'll find a blacksmith at some point.
Yeah, so Jokido goes down into the galley to make food for everybody.
I want to explore that master suite.
I think we can do that next time.
Next time.
Here on the Manipool. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, guys. Really appreciate it. This was fun. An impromptu story from Jokido.
Yes. You guys, we're on a boat.
We're on a boat with our flippy floppies on. Well, Akira has his flippy floppies on. I don't know about you guys.
I'm a bear. I don't wear shoes.
His bare feet.
I wonder if the quarters come with like closets that measure you and make clothes.
Right?
That shit would be amazing.
This is the Jetsons of boats, you guys. I'm gonna go downstairs to the galley and a wrinkly old woman's going, secret ingredient!
Secret ingredient.
Felix, do you even get that reference?
No, I don't, but it's funny.
I think Felix is punch drunk at this point.
I pretty much am.
I love it.
Are you slunk, Felix?
Slunk?
Sleep drunk. Oh. It's when you're so sleep deprived that you start acting drunk.
Look, I've slept about 5 hours in the past, like 48 hours.
So yes, you are.
I know what that's like. It's not fun.
You are very slunk.
That was me coming back from Australia. But speaking of Australia, Dale and the rest of us will be at DragonCon. When this airs, it'll be like 2 weeks from now. So I hope you got your travel plans ready to come see us. That'll be Memorial Day weekend in Atlanta,
Memorial
Georgia.
Memorial Day.
Yeah, Memorial Day.
Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day weekend. Whatever.
One of those day weekends.
One of those day weekend things. But yeah, we're going to be there.
The entire grill group
will be there.
The entire grill will be there.
I mean, if we could get away with it, I'd totally be down for bringing a grill to the session.
Two grills and a bunch of dudes will be there.
No!
Can I kick him? Since I'm logged into the same account as Raul is. Damn it, I can't. So yeah, you can come hang out with us. We're going to be doing some live recordings there. Don't know what time yet, but make sure you tune into Facebook and Twitter.com/GeekIOShow to find out when we're going to be doing those and where. We don't have that planned out yet either.
How we're going to be doing it.
With a microphone and a laptop and the rest of us standing around a table.
Yeah, I like that idea.
With the power of the siren.
That too. It'll also lure sailors out to kill them or something.
Which is great, because you guys are on a boat.
Yay!
Yay. Next time we confirm it's going to be evil mermaids.
To be fair, Remy is pretty much protected against sirens.
Yeah.
So we just have to keep people from throwing themselves overboard.
Akira has disadvantage 7 to them. Pretty woman.
Like 7 dice and getting the lowest one.
On any saving throw against them, yes. But if you can't join us at DragonCon, which is a shame, it's an amazing thing, you should come. But if you can't, we have a Discord that you can chat with us live. geek.io.net/Discord. We're all there, including Felix. He occasionally makes puns.
Very, very seldom, but they happen.
And the rest of us are there too. We make puns a lot more than he does.
My favorite was the discussion about the dress of shame.
Shame.
You have to join the Discord if you want to find out what it was about.
Absolutely. And then, of course, if you want access to everything that you could want and more, go over to patreon.com/geekio. A little bit of money there goes a long way. Keeps the lights on here at the show and on the network and in my house, which is important because here, without this, Without these lights, there's no Geek IO. And that would be a sad thing to have, wouldn't it? I think it would. It'd be like Felix's house, but like not as internet-y. It's funny because he's in a dark room.
Yeah, you've got some pretty epic mood lighting going on right now. Like it totally.
It's all the time. Okay, look, my light switch doesn't work. Well, it works, but I can turn my lights on and then they'll flicker off.
But the thing is, it's like you've got the normal dark background, but for the past like couple hours, whatever is emanating light on your face has this really warm cast to it. So it kind of looks like you're on the internet by candlelight.
Internet by candlelight.
But yeah, again, and if you want to email us, if you don't want to Discord because it's weird and scary, I understand. I get it. But you can email us, show@geek-io.net, put Manipool in the subject line so that way it gets routed to the correct people and I can put it in our Slack and have everybody go, oh, they emailed us again.
Yay.
Oh, yeah. We freaking have a party every time someone emails us. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, do those things and we'll talk to you guys. Next week, next week, and then after that's Dragon Con.
Bye.
So we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, my name is Walter Buffalo, and I hope you've enjoyed this Geek IO Media Network production. Copyright 2018, you see how that works?